Okay, as I said, Gage made up that bit about the team and the Sierras. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. I was born and raised in Oakland, California, East Bay, east of the San Francisco Bay. I came up here late in my life. I thought I didn't know anything about Cornish people. This despite the fact that the Jenny family lived next door to us. We got our car serviced by Mr. Torrey down the street. And I attended the Shattuck Avenue Methodist Church, where the Kernos, the Bastions, the Ralphs, lots of other folks were. But nobody ever identified them in any special way. And I took it for granted that everybody heard the Grass Valley Cornish Carol Choir at Christmas time, because they always came to the Shattuck Avenue Methodist Church. I came up here, I moved up here, started doing books. First book, I was doing history, but most of my history was focused on the 1850s. In the 1850s, there were Cornish here, but they weren't appearing in the newspapers. I would hear about miners from Wisconsin. I heard about people that they looked for these fellows in these striped shirts from Wisconsin that were said to be really good miners. Nobody identified them as Cornish. As I began to do more study in the 1860s, then I began to run across identifying things, and about that time I did I published Shirley Ewart's book, Highly Respectable Families, about the Cornish and Grass Valley. Subsequently worked with Gage and McKinney when miners sang, and all the things began to fall into place. A little later, somebody asked me a manuscript of a young girl's diary, a young girl growing up in Grass Valley in the 1890s. This was the family gave us to me at moved to Buffalo, New York. But it was very interesting because here, this was the kind of diary that was not intended to be read by anyone else, particularly adults. She didn't live long. I mean, she died probably about 10 years after she finished this diary. But in it, first of all, her name was Granholm. Her last name was Granholm, certainly not a Cornish name. Gradually began to find out that she kept putting down Cornish people. And then I eventually found out enough of her genealogy to find that almost every one of her relatives, including her mother, was Cornish. Her father was a Finn. And she has decided that, well, the Finns were really the superior folk. So as I got to know her a little bit about that, she spent an awful lot of time with her Cornish relatives. When Gage asked me what I was going to talk about, what was the subject, and I said, the Cornish conquest. And he didn't blink an eye, and I said, you ever hear about the Cornish conquest? And he said, no. I said, well, I guess no one else has either. What I was really implying was the fact that the Cornish came here and actually made a conquest. First, they were a colony. And yet, they eventually conquered the place. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how that came to be. I'm trying to not tell you stuff that you already know. You are certainly, every one of you is much more familiar with the old Cornish history than I am. I want to tell you how it looks to me from here and what happened to Grass Valley. In the opening years of the California Gold Rush, men came to the state from every continent of the world. Most were young and unmarried. A few had any mining experience at all. None expected to stay for long. The trip was expensive, potentially dangerous, and many were too young to have acquired rifles. Among them were a few Cornishmen, mostly from Illinois, Wisconsin, and Upper Michigan, where they had been working in the mines after emigrating from Cornwall. Like the other gold rushers, they came with the expectation of accumulating a quick fortune in gold and then returning to their families. During the 1850s, the early 1850s, the Cornish, despite their sense of practical experience in mines, enjoyed only a slight advantage over the other men. This was partly because gold was being found along streams and in very shallow excavations, which weren't very different from the water wells that people commonly dug all over the world. It was slow and arduous work, but could be accomplished by willing hands, a strong back, and simple tools. Any ambitious man in good health could acquire the rudiments of placer and coyote mining in a month or two. Even the discovery and quick development of hydraulic mining, which made use of powerful streams of water to dislodge boulders and wash away hills, did little to enhance the potential Cornish advantage, because the technology was as unfamiliar to them as to most non-miners who still greatly outnumbered them. Only when it became necessary to tunnel farther underground in search of the elusive rich veins of gold-filled quartz water did the superintendents and foremen begin to realize the importance of the hiring workmen with practical experience. Although Cornishmen were not the only knowledgeable miners in America, centuries of cultural memory had prepared them to acquire greater skills at an earlier age. Multiple generations of them had labored underground in Cornwall since before the birth of Christ, and they generally mistrusted the ability of foreigners to perform as well in dangerous conditions and in the dangerous environment. Thus, in America, as well as in South Africa, they were inclined to hire and recommend kinfolk to work beside them underground. Many of California's richest and most successful gold mines existed under or close to Grass Valley, and it became natural that more and more Cornishmen emigrated to that place, causing the population to grow by leaps and bounds. As it began to seem likely that those mines were going to pay dividends for a long time to come, married men sent for their wives and families, bachelors found wives who brought their brothers and husbands to avoid loneliness. Like most movements of similar people from a common place of origin to a foreign destination, Cornish created a colony at Grass Valley. Not every Cornishman or his family settled in Grass Valley, of course. For the mines that employed them were scattered about. But if you worked within walking distance of Grass Valley, it was hard not to be absorbed into the colony. If you were a churchgoer, which was highly probable, or belonged to a fraternal or social organization, it was bound to be folk with your countrymen. It was easier than not to buy your food from a Cornish market, to patronize Cornish stores and craftsmen, and to spend your free time with Cornish companions. It was a tight community. The fact was not lost on the Irish, who competed for jobs and felt they were discriminated against because of their general adherence to the Catholic faith and their dependable votes not always valid for the Democratic Party. The Cornish attitude did not amuse the Irish, who were more sensitive about the snubs than were Germans, French, and Italians, who prided themselves on coming from an older and more cultured continent. After gold was discovered in Virginia City in 1859, the Cornish emigration took a detour for a while as miners came to work in the Comstock Lode. In the 1860s, before eventually moving on to the more hospitable climate of California. And so the colonization continued from abroad, supplemented by the births of future Native sons and daughters of Golden West. During and after the American Civil War, the colony grew until it seemed almost to dominate the community and political activities of Grass Valley. This was quite an achievement, considering the smallness of Cornwall, the distance between the two places, and the very large numbers of immigrants from other parts of the world who were jockeying for position in the race for riches and prestige in California. Some Cornishmen retired from the mines to pursue other trades and professions. They ran for local office and were elected. They bought and sold mining properties and sometimes amassed modest wealth. They were heavily represented on school boards and fire departments. They stood out in fraternal and benevolent organizations. Two churches and the Salvation Army might have failed without their regular attendance and financial support. Their unique diet influenced the kind and variety of foodstuffs stocked in local markets and the regional preferences and customs that supplied the community with an abundance of ethnic and religious local music, which continues to provide satisfaction to this day. Despite the immigration of large numbers of Italians, Germans, Portuguese, French, Scandinavians, Irish, English, Australians, Spaniards, Mexicans, South and Central Americans, Chinese, and others in the 19th century, only the Cornish have left such a long-lasting imprint of their culture on Western Nevada County. Surely the success of this non-violent conquest is deserving of study for the comparative gentleness of the application. Nicely done.